This is your host, Andy Alleman. I'm the founder of Casa Noon Beauty and WeWe Studio. On the show each week, you're going to get no gatekeeping strategies to build your brand, weekly smart ideas to help you spend more time out of office, and conversations with kind, caring creatives making an impact and life-changing money. We are rewriting the rules of business by blending intuitive flow with proven strategies. Welcome to The Unschool. Hey, it's Andy. Welcome back to the show. This is The Unschool. Today we have a guest on the show. Before we get into that interview, a couple of quick reminders. Our Smart Girls Mastermind membership is officially open. You can apply anytime. We have a rolling enrollment process. So go ahead and submit your application if you've been thinking about it. We're happy to help you go in the right direction. If the membership is right for you, we'll let you know that. If there's another program that we have inside of WeWe Studio that might be better, we'll certainly let you know that too. I also wanted to let you know, if you are listening to this show as it drops, we have a free workshop happening this week. It's all about how to convert your Instagram audience into sales. Big question that comes up in our broadcast channel over on Instagram. So we're going to host a free workshop. The details will be made available on how to register inside the broadcast channel. So if you haven't joined the broadcast channel, it is free. Come on over, join the channel, and you'll get access to this workshop that we're hosting. You'll get the replay as well in case you can't come live. And you can ask questions each week in our Ask Me Anything. Today's smart idea is all about attracting new community members into your world and especially getting them into your email list. The way we're going to do this smart idea is to host a virtual summit. The other thing a virtual summit will do for your business is establish you as an authority, as someone who has high-level expertise. Today's guest is an expert at hosting online summits. She's going to tell you all about it. Here's the basics. When you host a virtual summit or participate in one, you're setting yourself up to be viewed as the expert that you are and including other experts in your field within an online conference style event, basically. If you're the host, you're also going to be attracting audience members directly from those other participants and getting them onto your email list. Our guest is going to tell you all about that, but go ahead and make a note. That is today's smart idea. So let me introduce you to our guest. She is Kate House. You can find her by day running around her town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania with her little boys. She is married to her college sweetheart. She is an all-around lovely human being. She has a great podcast that I was on last year called the Live by Design podcast. She's also a health coach and educator. She loves meditation. She's very much someone who fits right into this community. Her purpose is to help the women in her community to release personal growth overwhelm, to get unstuck, and to take the action that will help them to get one step closer to their dreams. And as I mentioned, one of the big ways that she does this is by hosting summits. I'll let her tell you more about that as we get into the episode. And with that, welcome to the show, Kate House. Hey there, Kate. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Andy. Thanks so much for having me here. It's going to be so much fun.
I would love to open this conversation thinking about pivots. And as I was doing some research on you and your story, you had a pivot point. And you said that you had this realization that nothing changes if nothing changes. Good advice for all of us to keep that in mind. And that moment led you to taking action to really begin to design a life that you love. Can you tell me a little bit about that moment and that pivot?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Yes. So, you know, it's funny because I grew up the oldest of four kids, very much like a high achiever, wanted all A's in school. You know, if I got a B plus, I felt like I was a failure, you know, that kind of standard, right? And so I continued that through college and very much was living into the expectations that I felt from either, you know, outside forces, family, culture, whatever it is, right? And I really kind of burnt myself out. And so I got through college. I started my first job after school. Incredible colleagues. I loved the mission of the work I was doing. But I kept just like, I was like hustling. I was burning the candle at both ends. Like, and I hit this point when I was 25. Like, I jokingly call it my quarter life crisis because it happened like right at 25. And I was having these like stress-induced nightmares. Mm-hmm. Like, I would dream that my email inbox was like blowing up and like I wasn't getting back to my students, just all this stuff. And I realized like I was just so unhappy. And it was because I was spending my time doing the things that were expected of me or I thought were expected of me and not spending my time in a way that felt meaningful or purposeful to me. And so I have this very clear memory of like sitting on my couch when we were living out in Illinois with my husband, and I was just crying because I was like so stressed. And I remember him rubbing my back and just telling me like, I wish there was something I could do to help. And that was when I kind of had that like, you know, not all of us get to have that eureka moment, but like if there were a light bulb over my head, it like went on in that segment because I was like, oh, like I'm the only person who can change this situation. Like nobody can change it for me. Like it's my career. It's the way I spend my time. It's the way I feel. Like these are all things that I have to take ownership of. And so that was really when I realized like, one, nothing changes if nothing changes. Like I can just keep doing what I'm doing, but I'm not going to feel any differently. And two, what I'm not changing, I'm choosing. And that for me was when I realized like, okay, it's time for, I want to choose something different. And so the work that I do is in the hopes that other people don't have to get to this point of really kind of like crashing and burning in terms of changing everything. And so I put in my notice at my job, like tearfully said goodbye to my boss because he's the greatest man in the whole world, right? Like I loved the job, but I was just giving too much of myself to everything else. And I was like, I need to do something really for me. And so I had started running a lot during that season. And because of that, my hamstrings were so tight. So I started yoga and I just fell in love with the practice of yoga. I fell in love with the community. So I became a yoga teacher. And that was my pivot point was like, you know, this career that I was, quote, supposed to have from my college education. And then I was like, I'm going to teach yoga. But it was the greatest decision for me. Like it was the first time I made an aligned decision for myself where I just felt vibrant and abundant. Like my heart was open. And it's just kind of all continued from there. And I think when I look back and I kind of connect the dots, I'm really grateful that my 25-year-old self, one, had the gumption to do that, two, had the support of my husband, so we were able to, like, dip down a little bit financially while I built up my teaching practice, but that I had the gumption to do it and that I gave myself permission to try something new, not knowing, like, I might really stink at this, but I was willing to try and find out and not knowing where it was going to end, right? Like, now, I mean, I'm 34 now, so 9 years later, right? I'm podcasting, I'm hosting summits, I'm a coach, but 25-year-old me wasn't ready for that yet, but she was ready to be a yoga teacher and then a holistic coach and then a podcaster, right? And each of those seasons built off of the other. So that's a very long-winded answer that was my pivot point.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. And I think what's so important that you've said there is you weren't ready for the level you're at today, but you were ready for that first step. What advice would you give to a creative or an artist? We have a lot of those in this community. We have female entrepreneurs in this community who are feeling like, okay, something is stuck here. I need to make a change in something within my current circumstances, but I'm hesitant to do that. What would a first step recommendation be?
Oh, I love this question. I would say like, just start. Like, don't overthink, don't overanalyze. For the longest time, I kept myself from taking action because for some reason, I wanted to do everything perfectly immediately. And now I'm like, that's not how it works. Like, perfect's an illusion, right? And we get better through doing it over and over and over again, right? And so so I can give a great example for this. So you and I both started podcasting in 2020, right? So the first time I sat down to podcast, by myself in my basement with my like crummy little microphone. I think my laptop was propped on like an empty diaper box. I knew it was on my heart to start a podcast, but I was so nervous. I was like clammy and my voice was shaking. And it's literally just me in my basement. Like no one else is there, right? But I showed up and I did it. And now, you know, 3 years later, podcasting, I'm like, oh, it feels so good. Your skills get refined. You learn about, you know, how to share the information that's on your heart, right? And you get better with repetition and with time. And so I think that's the thing that I would tell the creatives, the people with something on their heart that they're like, I want to pursue this thing, but I feel stuck or I'm not sure where to begin. I would just say to begin, because where you start is probably not where you're going to end up, but you have to begin, right? You have to give yourself permission to try. And if it's not perfect, great. You're going to learn something from it. Like it's not going to, and we just keep growing and learning from there and just being kind to yourself along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. We worry so much about the judgment when we take that first step. What are people going to think of me? What are my friends going to say? I've been doing things this one way. And when I put myself out there, you know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong and that people could say about you, and that can feel really scary. You've talked about consistency and how consistency compounds, and it's one of the ways that we reach our big, audacious goals. And the more we give ourselves that opportunity to take action by being consistent, the better we get along the way. Will you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes there's this tendency for us to have this all or nothing thinking. And by that, I mean, like, here's an example. Like, if I can't go to the gym for 75 minutes and do a run and weights and stretch or whatever, like, all or nothing thinking tells you, like, well, it's not worth doing at all, right? Whereas a growth mindset tells you, like, oh, you have 15 minutes, like, let's just go take a walk outside, right? Or let's pop on a quick workout video and do 15 minutes of strength training, or let's, you know, roll out your yoga mat at home and do 15 minutes of a flow, right? It's because something is better than nothing. And So often, you know, I think we get stuck in that all or nothing thinking where we're like, well, if I can't do it to the nth degree, it's not worth doing. Where in reality, you know, if you're incorporating something into your day-to-day life because you want to make consistent progress, it's probably going to be in those smaller pockets of time. For a long time, when I started my podcast, I was a stay-at-home mom. My boys were like 2.5 and less than a year old. And so my pockets of time were like during nap time or when they went to bed. But I just kept doing it consistently. And, you know, you blink and it's a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, I'm like approaching 300 episodes, right? And there's a season for everything. And so I think the biggest thing is like, you just have to keep showing up in these small pockets of time. And if you have a bigger pocket, awesome, like go for it. But don't undervalue what you can do with a 10-minute timer, a 20-minute timer. And it compounds over time. So this idea that like, if you, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, right? That's like what my dad always told me growing up. And now as an adult, I'm like, oh, I understand now. Like if you just keep showing up, you're not only making progress towards whatever that goal is for yourself, but you're proving to yourself, one, that you can do what you promised to yourself that you're going to do. You build confidence along the way. You refine your skills in whatever that endeavor is. And so I think the confidence that comes from showing up for yourself or the thing you committed to doing is a really powerful and sometimes undervalued tool that we can access.
Yeah, I 1000% agree. I've taken on this project this like last couple of months. I've written a couple of books. They're all nonfiction books. And I had this just very strong intuitive hit that I have a fiction book in me. And I was like, I haven't even told by the time this episode airs, I will have told my literary agent, but I'm having a call with her this Monday to be like, hey, that nonfiction book I'm supposed to be working on, I'm actually working on something quite different. But in sharing that, I was having this, like, I had this intuitive hit that it was something I wanted to pursue. And then I was like, I know how to write a nonfiction book. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of like culling information. I have no idea how to write a fiction book. And that felt incredibly overwhelming. Just like, who am I? I've also got to run my business and I've like got lots of other things going on. Who do I think I am that I'm going to write a fiction book? So my commitment was, and I heard this from a writer that I really love, my commitment was, every day before the end of the day, write 1,000 words. The end, full stop. Do not pass 1,000 words. Stop at 1,000 words. That's your goal. So that I was like, I can do that. I can sit down and I can write 1,000 words. And now what I've learned is I can do that in about 45 minutes to an hour. So now all I have to commit to is somewhere in my day, I need to carve out an hour to spend 45 minutes to an hour writing those 1,000 words. And I'm having so much fun doing it. Now I've got like 60 pages of a book written because I've just committed these little moments of consistent time. That consistency is compounding. And if you had asked me this past summer, do I think I could write a fiction book by next summer? I would have been like, are you crazy? Hell no. But now I'm like, yes, I can. And I'm loving the process. It's a joy to show up to that hour each day.
Oh, I love that so much for you. I am, by the way, I cannot wait to read it.
I hope I actually am good at it. We'll see. Well, it could be something that at the end of the day, it's like, okay, actually she did it, but like, what is this? Or it could be good. We'll see. But you know what? It's like back to that piece about perfection. I'm doing it for me first and foremost, and I'm having, there's a lot of joy in the process. So allowing myself to just feel that joy, I believe it will lead to something of quality. And I read a lot, so I feel like I know a good book when I, you know, am in front of one. So we'll see. But it's really about just allowing myself to be in the flow of it right now.
I love that. And what a beautiful example of just showing up for yourself again and again and again, right? Because if you sat down at the beginning of your week and you're like, I'm going to sit down and write for 7 hours one day, like that probably doesn't feel great.
No.
But like 45 minutes to an hour every day, like, heck yeah, like pour some tea, grab the water bottle, like sit down and you probably blink. And before you know it, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm at 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool. What strategies do you recommend for setting goals that have some soul to them?
I love this question. I could talk about goals with soul all day long. I think there are certain things that we need to do. The first is to really get clear on what you actually want. So not what like your best friend or your family or like society tells you that you should want. Like, what is it that actually interests you, right? So this goal needs to be meaningful to you personally. So like writing a book, right? Like this is a really personal goal for you and it's probably deeply meaningful. And so you can achieve goals that aren't maybe personally meaningful, but it's a lot harder. You know, you're kind of working against yourself in a way. So I think they need to be really personal. One thing that I like to do when I set goals with soul is I also want them to be aspirational in that like my best self a year from now could totally do that. But maybe myself right now is like, oh, this like makes me, like my heart races a little bit when I think about this goal or whatever it is. But trusting that I will grow into the woman who can do that through the process. So they're aspirational in that like your future self 6 months from now, 1 year from now is going to be able to do it, right? So that's the aspirational piece. I also think they need to be attainable. So aspirational, yes, but also attainable. So not so difficult or so outside of your wheelhouse that you're like, I can't actually do this, right? So let's make it attainable, right? Like, so for you, right, you've written multiple nonfiction books and now you're this like incredible author. You've got all this experience and now you're like, okay, world, I'm ready for the fiction, right? And so it's like, you keep growing in the doing, right? So it's attainable now. So aspirational, attainable, meaningful. And, you know, people talk a lot about SMART goals, right? And there's nothing wrong with a SMART goal. But I do find that sometimes if we're setting a goal with soul, sometimes it's pretty big. So give yourself a timeline, sure. But also know that, like, if you don't make it, it's okay. Like, you can extend the timeline or you can break it up into smaller kind of stepping stone goals and really celebrate those along the way. So meaningful, aspirational, attainable, and be kind to yourself along the way, right? If you need a little bit more time, that is okay. This is your schedule.
Grace around the time. And the woo-woo side of me says, like, who are we to really know what the time should be anyways. Like time is
exactly
our human construct. So the things that you're talking about, aspiration, attainability, and having meaning, that's the important stuff. That's the good stuff.
right? Yeah. And in that way, they get to be reflective of the season of life you're in, mm-hmm. right? So like when I started my podcast and my boys were home full time, like that was a very different season of life than now. Fast forward and they're in kindergarten and preschool. And I have all this time during the day now to kind of pour into the foundation that I built over the last 3 years, right? And so, you know, you just keep showing up, you keep doing it, and the seasons will shift too. So I think your goals with Soul should be reflective of the season that you're in, right? And there's something really beautiful about that because seasons continue to change as time passes.
Sure does. It sure does. And as we evolve. Okay, so I want to get into your business a little bit. And I was sharing with you before we recorded, before we got on the show, like as we hit record, I am super interested in hearing about your summits. And we've talked on this show about podcasting. We've talked about course building. We've talked about coaching. We've talked about digital products. We have never talked about summits. It's a big part of your business. So will you tell us first, what is a summit, Kate?
Oh, I love this. I could talk about summits all day as well. So I'm super excited for this conversation. So the way I approach a summit is first, it's virtual because, you know, I'm an online business owner. I like everything virtual. So for right now, they're virtual. They usually last between 3 and 4 days. And I always give them a theme. So something very specific that the person who participates can anticipate learning or experiencing for themselves. And then I like to structure them in such a way that they very closely reflect the work that I do inside of my group coaching program. So that way, if somebody comes to my summit and they're like, this is a great experience and I've learned a lot and I've grown or I'm implementing things that I'm learning. And if they enjoy that, then I know they will love my group program. Yeah. And so for me, you know, it makes me a better coach. It makes me a better teacher in hosting the summits. And it becomes this really natural transition for folks to move from the summit experience who maybe had a little bit of trepidation or hesitation in joining my monthly program. It kind of helps them have the experience of like, oh yeah, this can work for me or this feels right. And then they move into the group program afterwards.
Yeah, it's a really great introduction to the work that you do in a way that's low risk for the person that's signing up. So, okay, I want details. On average, how many leads might you get hosting an event like the Empowered Self Summit that you've hosted?
Yes, such a good question. And this is actually what kind of prompted me to start hosting summits was I want to grow my community and I had really slow, steady growth, but I was like, how do I break the logjam? Like, what do I do? Yeah. And I kind of had this like divine download one day and I was just like, oh, like a summit. Okay, let's do this. So for the Empowered Self Summit, I had 804 women join us live.
Amazing.
That week.
Yeah.
The cool thing about a summit is that you can turn it evergreen. And so I've had hundreds more women. I mean, I just hosted the summit when this episode comes out, just like 3 months prior, and I've already had hundreds more women join. And so for me, that's the beauty of a summit is it's an incredible experience the week of. You grow your community, you grow your list, you make these connections like impact and income, but then it can continue to serve you going forward as well.
Yeah. Okay. And those leads, the way that they find the summit is through what methods, what channels?
Oh, great question. Okay. So first I just share with my list, of mm-hmm. course. So some of those 800 people were already on my email list.
Sure.
But I really rely on my speakers. You can do all sorts of things like Google Ads and things like that. I haven't had the budget for that quite yet. And also I'm like not as well versed in that area. So I'm like, I'm going to need somebody to help me with that. So really I rely on my speakers. And so they become basically an affiliate for the summit. So anybody who joins the summit, my speakers also get their contact information. And if the person who signed up through my speaker decides to upgrade to the All Access Pass, so the summit is free to attend, but with the All Access Pass, it's a paid upgrade. So you get, you know, additional resources, replays, all those great kinds of bonuses in there. And I give my speakers a 50% affiliate commission.
Nice.
For all of those as well. And so it's really, you know, it's for all of us to grow our communities. It's for all of us to create that income as well. And so, yeah, my speakers are a big part of it. And this last summit, my second summit, I took all of my Zoom recordings and I used a tool online to create reels. And so I tagged, I was posting a lot, tagging my speakers in those. And that was a great way for them to very easily share the summit with their communities as well.
Yeah. And what a smart way to take that longer form content and then break it up into short form content to get more people onboarded into the experience and then ultimately introduce your business to those that are interested.
Absolutely.
Yeah, love that.
Yep.
How do you decide or how do you curate and select the topics and the speakers for the summit? How do you make sure that the people that you're choosing are going to really give that insight that you know the audience will be looking for?
Oh, I love this question. So I have a free Facebook group that folks join and there are intake questions. And one of the questions that I ask everybody is, what feels heavy for you right now, emotionally, mentally, physically? What is heavy for you? And I keep all the answers in a Google spreadsheet and I will look through those every quarter or so. And I just take stock of okay, how are people feeling? Overwhelmed was a huge word this year. I kept seeing overwhelmed come up, right? And so when I created the Empowered Self Summit, I was like, well, what's the opposite of overwhelmed? I think it might be feeling empowered. And so that was, I try to take those cues from my community because I've learned in the 3 years that I've been in business and learning how to be in business that I can create something that I think is cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean my community is going to be it might not serve the need that they have at that time. And so I start with what my community has been telling me feels heavy or hard for them. And then I pull all of my speakers from my podcast guests because we already have a rapport. We have a connection. I've seen them, promote the episode they were in or, you get a bond with somebody that you spend time with. So that's what I do. I've had maybe two people in my summits who weren't past podcast speakers, but I was already familiar with them.
Yeah.
So that's the approach I take because I love that. Just getting to continue to deepen that connection and that collaboration piece.
Yeah. And there's just a vibe that's already there that you can trust will really impact the people that are coming. So, yeah.
Yes.
I love
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Okay. So if someone's listening and they're like, this sounds really cool, but I don't know if I would even know where to begin to set it up. What's the strategy for setting it up? Any tech that you feel like someone might need to have in order to get things organized. What pro tips do you have for us around that?
Yeah, so I'll tell you the tech that I use and then I can tell you a little bit about the program that I did as well. Because
yeah.
So I had that moment of okay, I want to host a summit. And then the next thought was how do I host a summit?
Right.
So the things that were most helpful for me in terms of my tech stack were my email service provider, because that's how I shared the information every day to the folks who registered for the summit. I created pages on my website. So I do all of my own work on my site, but I use a site called Showit. And I have a template that I use on there. It's very, there's a little bit of a learning curve to learning it, but once you know how to do it, you're good to go. So I did all the pages on there. I use something called Deadline Funnel to just create a little bit of time urgency in terms of there's a couple different price tiers I do for the All Access Pass. So if you buy it the early bird special and then there's another tier and then there's the regular price. So I use Deadline Funnel to create a little bit of that urgency. And then I use Hello Audio. So I host my summits as a podcast. Mm-hmm. So I used Hello Audio as my podcast host because they're really easy to subscribe to a private podcast feed. So the whole idea is that you have to join the summit, i.e. give me your name and your email address
yep.
in order to get access to the podcast feed, right? That's how we're growing the community.
Yep.
So I used Hello Audio for that. And that has worked really well. I know a lot of the women in my community they're busy ladies. And so they want to be able to pop in their earbuds and listen to the summit when they go for their walk or when they take their kids to school or over their lunch break. And they don't really have necessarily the time to sit down and watch videos like a lot of other summits. And so I kind of put my own little podcasting spin on it. And then in terms of learning what to do. So I signed up for a program called Summit in a Box with Kristen Miller, and I had heard her on a couple podcasts, then I listened to her show. I took one of her lower tier workshops first to make sure I kind of jived with her teaching style. And then I invested in her Summit in a Box program, and that gave me Trello boards and templates and all that kind of stuff, and also the support of their copywriters. And so for me, that was really important. the reason I hosted two summits kind of back to back was that I wanted to host two different summits while I was still in that program so I could have all of their support. Mm-hmm. And now in the new year, I'll host both summits again, but on my own for the first time. But the infrastructure is now there. So I would say summits take a lot of work on the front end, but the repeat return is there. And so I'm looking forward to that this year.
Yeah. What I love about what you just shared is this, okay, I paid attention and I know that my community is like really busy, and this idea of them being able to just like pop this in their earbuds when they're on a walk or play it on the car when they're like on their way to school pickup or whatever it may be, that is so smart. I've been a part of quite a few summits where it's like all on Zoom and it's an hour session each. And then like nobody ends up making it all the way through the program because it's like, I can't commit to like 10 hours of Zoom this week. Like I have a million yes. other things to do. And of course the information would be incredibly valuable, but like who's got time for that? So how brilliant to do this in a way that's like delivering audio education the same way someone would listen to a podcast to these 800 plus people who are interested in what you're curating.
Yeah. It's been really, the feedback from the attendees has been really positive about it being podcast specific. And I make sure, because each day there's usually 6 or 7 episodes that drop. So it's a lot of content. Yeah. And I make sure to tell them in the kind of intro episode for every day, I record like a 5 to 8 minute episode, like welcome to day 2. This is our focus kind of thing. And I always tell them like, you do not have to listen to every episode.
Sure.
Like, in fact, like, please don't.
Yeah.
It's going to be too much information. And just trust your intuition, like read over the titles and decide like, okay, this feels like the right one for me to listen to. And if all you do is listen to one episode that day, it's a success, right?
Yeah.
And again, letting go of that kind of all or nothing thinking, right? Like, I have to listen to all of them. Like,
totally.
No. Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Summits can provide such a great platform as well for the speakers and you as the organizers to network and collaborate with each other. How has being the host of your own summit series helped you to connect with other experts, entrepreneurs? Tell me about how that's been for you.
Yeah, it's been huge because I think being a summit host, it's kind of validating in the eyes of others. So when you do ask folks to collaborate with you, you know, you're like, I'm a podcaster, I'm a coach, I'm a summit host. And that means something, right? You've put a lot of effort into that, and that's reflected by the people who decide to work with you. And so that's been, I mean, I think the collaboration piece is one of the coolest parts of hosting a summit, besides like connecting with the community, is the collaboration piece. And so I now I'm an affiliate for a lot of the women who join my summits as speakers. And that didn't necessarily happen right after doing a podcast conversation together, but after having them in the summit, that, you know, that's a really nice kind of natural next step for me to then support, you know, them and the work that they do.
Yeah.
It's such a cool world that, like, you know, you and I are sitting on opposite sides of the world right now, or opposite sides of our country, and like we get to connect online. And that's what I get to do in hosting this summit, is like I'm speaking with women from our speakers from Canada, from Australia, right? Like I'm online at, you know, 7 a.m. and it's nighttime their time the next day, right? And we're making it happen. And I think that collaborative piece of knowing entrepreneurship can feel kind of lonely. And when you get to collaborate with others, you know, like, I'm not doing it alone. And you always have these great conversations before you hit record together for a summit recording, before and after the record button, where you're like comparing notes. You're like, oh, hey, I saw you just did this thing. Like, that was really cool. Like, how was that? You know, and then those women that you have as your speakers, at least for me, I mostly have a female audience, so I feel really strongly about having women speakers. But then they'll be like, oh, you know who you should talk to? Like, you should talk to so-and-so. And then your community, your connection just continues to grow and grow and grow. And so then the women that my speakers suggest that I talk to, like, I might invite onto my podcast in the coming months. And they're just really aligned connections. So, yeah, I think the collaborative piece is one of the coolest, and maybe I didn't totally anticipate it, how valuable it would be until I hosted a summit. And now I'm like, oh, yes, these connections are really important.
Yeah, relationship truly can mean so much to our businesses. And those types of relationships are exactly the ones that we want. Yes.
Yes.
Love it. Love it.
Absolutely.
So you have something for our listeners. Tell us what that would be. And we'll make sure to include all the details about everything that you're doing in the show notes as well. So tell us what you have for our crew here.
Oh, thank you, Andy. Well, you know, we've been talking about summits. Mm-hmm. And so Andy and I were brainstorming. We thought that it would be really fun to gift you guys the All Access Pass for the Empowered Self Summit. So I've turned the Empowered Self Summit evergreen so folks can join it for free, but you only get access for a certain amount of time. But with the All Access Pass that I'm gifting you guys, it's a $97 value, but it'll give you forever access to the podcast feed. So you can listen in at your own pace. You'll get the video replays from all of the coaching sessions and all the speaker panels that I hosted, as well as this really beautiful workbook with lots of prompts in it. So if you listen to an episode and you're like, "Ooh, this person was speaking to my heart," then go grab your workbook and pull up the worksheets and the journal prompts for that specific person. And that gives you that chance to really dive into some self-reflection. I'm super excited to get that to everybody. So if you go over to misskatehouse.com/empoweredselfsummit, that's where you can get signed up. And we're going to give you guys coupon code UNSCHOOL so you can get that All Access Pass for free.
Brilliant. So grateful for that. I'm excited to dive into it myself. I'll be using Woo-hoo! That code. Yes. And then tell our listeners where they can find all things Kate House on the internet, on Instagram, all the things.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes. So I'm over on the podcast, the Live by Design podcast. Andy is one of our fabulous guests who's been on the show. So you can go back in the archives, find Andy. That was such a fun conversation. So the Live by Design podcast. And then everywhere else, I'm Miss Kate House, because there's another Kate House out there. She beat me. So Miss Kate House, MS Kate House on Instagram, MS Kate House, misskatehouse.com is my website. And that's where you can find me and get connected. And I always say, like, I'm a real person sitting here at my desk with, like, usually my dog by my side and my Ember coffee mug in front of me. So send me an email anytime or send me a DM. Like, there's nothing I love more than just connecting. And I'm here for it.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for being here, Kate. It's been such a fun conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much to Kate for coming on the show today to share her knowledge. If you've loved this episode and think that you might be interested in hosting a summit, send us a DM. Tell us what you're thinking about. We'd love to chat with you about it. And of course, as always, if you think this is valuable and would like to share on your social media, give us a tag so we can reshare your post as well. And of course, if you have not yet left us a review, drop down onto the app that you're listening to this show on and leave us a review. 5 stars if you think that that's what we're worthy of. It means the world to us. I'll be back again next week with another interview episode. Until then, I can't wait to hear more about how you're using these smart ideas, resources, and tools that we're bringing to you each week on The Unschool. See you again here really soon.